Libby's mother was only a half sister to my father.
Was Henry?
Her name was Sedani.
Sedani, yes.
That's an unusual name, isn't it?
Well,
was that a Belgian name?
Yeah, Sedani, is he?
Sedani and Winey and Rosie and Minnie and Alice.
Yes.
I never heard Sedani before.
Frank, was Henry Servais the only child
from that first marriage?
Youngest.
Henry Servais' mother was the only child from that first marriage.
Oh, she was the only child.
She was the only child.
Okay.
She was about 5 years old when Grandpa remarried. And he remarried, and Grandma also lived with Vincent. She lived, I think, where Vandeplas lives now. It was a little off the road, too. You see, off that road that runs north and south there. They live in there a little ways, and I'd say a quarter of a mile or so in from T. That was where Grandma Oslas came from. That was their first place, you see. And then she came over here, and they had about 10 children then. Mm-hmm. About 9 or so, anyway.
Well, there's one that died, the oldest.
Well, Annie died at the age of 15 from appendicitis. They had a doctor for her. They had the doctor come from Green Bay, I guess, or so. And the doctor examined her, and then he started to talk about...
the hospital.
They started to talk of some real estate in Bay Selma that was for sale. And Grandma said, well, yes, but... How about her, you know, that was sick? Well, can't you do anything for her? Well, I think it's appendicitis. Well, can't you do anything for her? We could operate. He said, well, you think it's advisable to operate? Well, what would happen if you operate? Well, then she'd die. Well, if you don't operate, well, she'd die too, so it was die either way, see? But can't you do anything? Well, maybe, he says, if we'd give her a handful of buckshot.
Oh, my gosh.
A handful of buckshot?
Buckshot, you see. Well, what will that do? Well, there's a chance that it would be the guts knotted up, you know, tangled up.
Oh, yeah.
And with buckshot, that would drive its way through, you see, lead, but then too, you give lead to somebody, eh? Lead poisoning, eh? But you see, in those days, that was, but that was medical science in those days. but that was the only thing that you would have advised them to do if it should happen that it wouldn't be appendicitis, and that would be a intestines knotted up or twisted up or something, a handful of shock like that, and, well, he said that would work its way through then. It might untangle the
mess. But then he talked too about the hospital. And Grandma, oh my, the hospital, but that was sure
death. That was death. Yeah. See, go to the hospital, that was death. Well,
you get infections there.
But the oldest boy, didn't he die, Lambert? The oldest Lambert?
I don't know. Well, yeah. I think I had their ages here, so... I think the oldest one was Sedani and...
No, there was one. The first Lambert died, I'm pretty sure.
Well, maybe, but... Wait, this is... See, Sedani was born in 62, died in 35. Winey was born in 67, died in 1930. Rosie was born in 68, died in 39. Lambert was born in 72... died in 61. David was born in 74, died in 45.
Oh, I have a complete list.
Pa here was born in 1877, he died in 1907. Victor was born in 1879, he died in 46. Annie was born in 1882, and she was 16 years old. I don't know, just she was a young girl, you know. That's the one that died of appendicitis. So I think it must have been about 1880.
Well, the way it is there, 15.
15?
Well, 1890.
Well, I think, I don't know.
Always said 16, though.
16,
but,
well, then it's 88 then, so.
Maybe it was just
And Minnie was born in 1884, and she died in 1972. And then there were two others that Julia Lilly, she died, I guess, when she was an infant, a year or two old. And Alice, Mary Alice, that was Mrs. Max Duquesne, from Duquesne Lumberyard. Richard's mother.
And we met him at the
Yeah.
Oh, sure. He said his mother was born in this house, too.
Well, yeah, that's...
he's your cousin?
1888. Yeah, he's my cousin, yeah. And maybe you know Elmer, too, the one in Green Bay, Elmer? Maybe you never heard of him.
Or Mrs. Goldie Duquesne, she teaches at St. Peter and Paul. Lucy Duquesne, Goldie's wife, she teaches at St. Peter and Paul.
I don't know where she teaches.
They used to run that Packer City Motel.
Yeah, the Packer City Motel, that was one of the boys, Elmer and Richard's brother, you see, Goldie. But he died heart attack many years ago, I don't know.
Oh.
15 years ago, maybe?
Oh, yeah. More than that, he died before Ma did.
Oh, yes, that's right, too. Maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah, all of that.
Mr. Oslos, did you ever have a pig pen, or did you ever keep pigs on the farm?
Yes, we kept pigs, but...
Well, they usually stayed around the straw stack for the winter, and in the summer, they'd make a pasture for them in back there or someplace.
Well, the straw stack was more like around here, you see.
Mm-hmm. And they never stayed inside there?
And then we had a fence, you know, running back here, you see.
The cows? To keep the cows in there? Or?
Well, the cows used to come around there for exercise in wintertime, and the pigs was...
We never made much provision for the
never,
pigs.
No, pigs were anywhere, pigs could stay anywhere, as you see.
You put a ring in their nose and they gotta behave.
Oh, yes, I think of it.
When was the barn built?
What?
When was this barn built, you know?
Well, Pa died in 1907, and I guess it was just about completed at that time. It was new, and it was one of the first barns that was built around here with a tin roof, because I remember that they had they didn't know how to put it on, and the people that sold it to him had a show how, and then there's different ones that came to see how it was done.
Nice.
So it was built before Van Dries's, because I know Van Dries's were bickering to see about a tin roof too, but they didn't know what they wanted yet. So, and I remember that Ma said it wasn't laid out in the best way possible because they didn't know enough about tin roofs at that time yet. Mm-hmm. And Pa died in the last of September, in 1907, and it must have been made in 1906 or something like that.
Were there any other brick buildings here that are torn down now?
Brick
buildings?
No, the other part of this house was logs, but then they veneered it with brick later, but I don't know when that was. Maybe Frank might know.
But there was no other brick buildings, was there, Anne, besides?
Well, except the smokehouse.
The smokehouse?
Well, the smokehouse.
The one that's standing is the smokehouse, right?
Smokehouse.
Was the pump house brick?
No. There was no other brick buildings here except the smokehouse, huh?
Smokehouse? No. The smokehouse and the barn.
Well,
yeah,
the
that aren't standing
brick.
Anymore.
Well, that barn is standing.
Yes, there was something else. Right, halfway between here and the car there, you see, there was
an oven.
The oven, yes.
Oh, I didn't realize there was one. Could you draw that in? It must have been right about
Well,
here.
All the time they were making brick, that was where Ma used to build her, make her bread. And she says that bread had the best flavor. They always had a better flavor than any other. And she says, how those men could eat, she says.
No,
I guess
around
she used to
here,
eat
I'd
18
say.
It was a freestanding
time.
Oven. It wasn't attached to a building at all?
Oh, no. It was a foundation, you might say. And then on top of the foundation, they had a little hole about so big. No, it was square. It was a square hole. Well, so square. And on that framework, I'd say it was about so long.
About 6
and about 6 by 8. Or maybe...
Well, didn't Ma used to say she used to make 18 loaves at once? And there were big loaves.
That was inside, but I mean the outside
of
it.
Oh, the outside, that I don't
know. 8 by 10, maybe, or 8 by 12, something like that. That would be the framework. And on top of that, then, they had a dome-shaped deal. It was about 2.5 feet, 2.5 to 3 feet at the peak like that. It was sloped, you know. And they'd fill that with wood, pine stumps broken up, you see. They'd fire that till it was good and hot. Then they had some kind of a rake. They'd rake all that coal out, the coals out, you know, and the fire, rake that all out, and close the door.
Put the bread in.
And put the pans in, slip the pans in, close the door, and leave that there for
I suppose an
hour or so. You see, just like baking in the oven, you see, and that was. A bread that had a flavor and a texture or something like that. There was
the crust.
Yeah, it was. It had a different flavor, I think, than ordinary bread baked in a. Because when I worked in the shipyards for about 3 years during World War II.
No, and in Manitowoc or
in Sturgeon Bay.
In Sturgeon Bay,
and. One day, well, I was assigned to a fellow that was a carpenter foreman, you see. So when I came, three of us came down from the loft, we had been making patterns for the boats, and we were through with the patterns, so we had to come down and get other work. So we were told to go down, and a certain fellow would give us some other work. So we came down, there was Frankie Spitzer, there was one of them, and no, not Frankie Spitzer. There were three of us anyway that were assigned on. What's your name? What's your name? What's your name? Well, my name was Osloth. 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 Osloth, where are you from? From New Franken, I said. New Franken? You know anybody, you know the Osloth from Champion? Well, yes, I was from halfway between Champion and New Franken. Yeah, I want to talk to you after a while, he says. I thought, what the heck's going to put me on the pan, I suppose. But instead of that, then when he wanted to talk to me, he says, were you any relation to the ones that made bricks there? Yeah, so I said, that was my father. Oh, he says, oh. I'll tell you, he says, when I was 19 years old, he lived in Brussels there, he was 19 years old, he was working for a sugar beet company, the Menominee Sugar Beet Company, I guess. And I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I went to Green Bay, like to bring my report in or something like that. At Green Bay, he said, but I was young, he said, I didn't know anything about hotels and so on, you know. So I stayed all day without eating, he says. And I brought my report in, then I took my horse, he said, and I come back, and I came back this way, he said, because they said they made bricks out here, so I wanted to see that. And he stopped here about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, went by here and he stopped. And I watched him make bricks, and then the old man, he said, your old grandpa came on the yard, he says, and he said, lunchtime. And he said, go on, he says, have lunch. No, I said, I'm just here to watch. When we eat lunch, everybody eats lunch, he said. So I went, and I was starving, he said, but I didn't want to let on. I was only 19 years old. I was a kid, he said. So I came in, and I think I made a hog of myself, he said. I started to eat and eat. They had oven-baked bread, you know, from outside like that. They had green onions. They had cottage cheese, he said. All things that I liked, he said, and starving, he said, I ate, and I ate till I was ashamed of myself, and the women folks said, Eat if you're hungry, because when it's on the table, it's to eat. And I ate, he said.
He had and beer, too.
And beer, and homemade beer, he says. I ate, he says, till I was ashamed of myself, and they said, eat all you want, because it's on the table to eat. That's the best meal I ever ate, he said, and I don't think I ever ate a meal since that I enjoyed so much. So that was, I bet you, maybe 50 years before he told you about it. Before he told me about it. And he gave me a nice job on account of that, you know. He gave me a nice job there in the shipyards making scaffolds on the floating boats, you see. So we had a little work here, a little work there, you know, and half the time we weren't doing anything. Well, there was nothing to do. Well, just watch to see for anybody that wanted a little piece of iron welded here, a little piece of iron welded there, drop a plank on it, you know, so they could work up there. So it was interesting because we were all over the boat, you know, and the boats were launched already, so no heavy work or anything. So.
Did your family ever grow sugar beets here?
Yes, we do. We did.
But we didn't have enough land. We only had 40 acres here.
So we put a couple acres.
We enjoyed it and we made good with it. It was a lot of work. But then we had to buy oats or we had to buy this or buy that because so we only had a.
And then it was, you know,
3-4 acres.
We had to haul them to New Franken. And maybe a quarter of a mile on this side of New Franken already. The wagons were lined up, not a quarter of a mile, but there was maybe an eighth of a mile on this side of of New Franken and an eighth of a mile on the other side of New Franken. It took time to unload those wagons. So you had to wait there maybe 2-3 hours. A lot of times you'd leave here at 4 o'clock in the morning to be early, you know, and you'd get there, there was a whole lineup already there. And then...
Sometimes they had no cars.
Sometimes, yes, you'd get there, well... We're all out of cars. No car. The train went through, and no cars. There were no cars left here. Well, then you had to unhook, leave your wagon there, and come home. You know, with the horses. Then go back next day or so and hook on the wagon, unload that. So it was a nuisance, you see.
Yeah. What was the name of the company that bought the sugar beets then?
Menominee.
Well, it was that Green Bay outfit.
Yeah,
Menominee Sugar Company.
But it was located in Green Bay?
Well, they were out there where Armour is there, yeah, somewhere around. On Ashland Avenue there. That was the sugar beet company.
Yeah.
In those days, they...
Right near Armour's there.
They ran for quite a few years, but...
Otherwise, the first years that they had beets, I guess they paid good price for them. Huh? Wasn't it $20-some a ton they used to pay?
Yeah, but then prices went down. Sugar went down, I suppose, too. And
but even though they had those sugar beet weeders there, they could still make good with them.
Oh, yes.
Well, at that time, everything paid so little, you know, that when you had something like that, you thought
it was... Yeah, $25, it was money, you see.
That was money, yeah.
Nowadays, well, that would be only... Enough to buy a few bags of groceries, eh?
Not too few.
Yeah,
not
two bags.
Depending on what you bought.
Yes.
Did you sell your eggs also from your chickens?
Well, we never had big quantities of eggs.
We never had a lot, but we used to sell them at the store in Champion, and then after that people came and got them, and then we used
for
to...
For a while we shipped them to Milwaukee.
What was the name of the store in Champion?
Well, that was Desire Dairy. My mother used to make butter, and she used to carry those butter crocks or whatever, butter jars. And oh, that was such a load for her to carry. She used to bring that to Champion.
Do you remember how much she was paid at the store for butter and eggs?
Oh, hardly anything. And the eggs were at that time, I don't know what.
Oh, 15, 20 cents a dozen, maybe. That was high price.
Yes, for a time. We had 12 cents a dozen, and then they said they went down to 10, but then they went back to 12 because it was easier to count. You could count one penny for each egg.
What year was that in, approximately?
What?
About what year was that?
Oh, I probably was 16, huh? That's 50 years ago, anyway.
Okay.
In the 20s.
Because I remember there was a while then. Oh, you're only paying 10 cents for the eggs? Yeah. But then after they went up to 12 cents again, well, it was much easier to count.
Did the town of Champion have more buildings? The town of Champion, did it have more businesses going when you folks were young people than it does now? Was it a larger
town? Well, there were, for a time there was only two taverns and now there's three, so... more business in Champion. For a time there was only two taverns, now there's three. There were two dance halls, now there's only one.
How about yeah,
it only Ted Ups.
Was there a grocery store there, Frank?
There must always been a grocery store as long as I can remember. Depree's from way
But
back.
There used to be three taverns in Champion. Well, there was one over there by Petunia.
There were three. There were three. There might even have been four. Wasn't Decane's, you know, where Tony Desjardins is now, wasn't that a tavern too? No, I don't think so. No, it was.
No.
It was Le Bouillet.
Well, that I don't remember that.
But I don't know. I don't remember them. But
no.
That was.
There used to be a creamery. There was a creamery at the corner.
At the corner there, Van Eyster's or.
Well,
Hallett,
and
yeah.
Van Eyster.
But then they moved to Lena.
But that's before my time too.
And by DuPont's there, they had a platform in front of the building there. Now, what was that for? I don't know. It looked like a.
And
the building, the inside of that old building was all plaster. Now, why was that plaster? I think it was a creamery, too. Maybe after Hallett's went out, the DuPonts started off, because DuPonts were ready to start anything.
Anything, yeah. I don't remember
if
anything.
If they made money or if they didn't make money, they...
I know they used to have a dog on the ranch.
Yeah, but that was to churn their own
to
butter.
To churn their milk, but... or
churn
to churn
butter.
The butter, I don't know.
Well, they had a dog running on a wheel?
No, it was a... I don't know what they call that. It's a big wheel here,
mm-hmm.
and a big wheel and a smaller wheel. A wheel here, and there's a just like a belt, and you have to keep on walking on that because you know if you
there's
don't
slats
walk
like across it.
Yeah.
There's slats like across it, ain't it, Frank? Where they walk on? That's the
well,
one.
Well, slats or yes, slats or. It's like a belt, you see,
mm-hmm.
and you keep on walking on there, and that furnishes power for that wheel to turn, you see,
mm-hmm.
as you go up. And they had a big dog, and they used to put the dog on there. Well, we saw one of them in Europe, didn't
yes,
we?
Yes, that's yeah. what I said, but
yeah.
that had slats across.
Well, maybe it had
so
slats.
Wide, and then you see the dog that kept going, as he went.
It's more of walking up an incline.
Mm-hmm.
If you walk up an incline, I mean on a belt, well, the pulleys have to turn.
Mm-hmm.
So that furnished the power for to wash the clothes, I guess, and to churn the butter. I
yeah.
think that.
They had a wash deal where they wash clothes yeah. like that in Belgium in that one place.
The mm-hmm. dog would do that too.
Sure. So you didn't dare to have a lazy dog or two.
Well, they used to run the threshing machine with those things too, and the dog
yeah.
when the horses they had a team of horses on those. Deals that furnished the power for thrashing, and when the horses would get too tired, you know, they'd run up, then they'd leave themselves go down, then their legs would hit that crossbar, then they'd jump up and.
Well,
keep
Henry
on.
Used to drive the horses to press hay like that too, I guess.
Press hay, they used.
Press hay was around.
Around and round, yeah. There was a big sweep, you see, a big, just like a big tongue, you see. That would go out, and the horse were hitched here, and the horse had to go round and round like that,
mm.
and that furnished the power.
Do you remember, Mr. Aslos, if there were ever any fruit trees around here on the farm?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there were here and there around, yeah. Out there was one that planted by Uncle Victor, eh? Uncle Victor's apple, they used to say, eh?
Yeah,
they were
there used to be. There used to be several in there. There was a, you remember
yeah.
there was a greasy apple there?
Oh, yes, that...
And then there was a duchess. There were some cherry
duchess
trees.
Duchess back
they
there.
They were all.
Yeah.
Where were they in?
There were there? Here and there around the place.
But
yeah.
in front of the chicken coop there, that there was about a.
Yeah, there was a.
About a dozen.
Where was your pear tree?
The pear trees was only after.
Oh,
Mom,
but that was
Mom
later.
Planted,
that was in back here.
Oh.
We planted them back here.
I know Frank talked about pear trees.
Yeah, there was. Well, they're all cut down. Even the. The pear tree.
There were two good Mackintosh. Well, there was one good Mackintosh. One didn't bear much, and then the two on the end were Pewaukees, huh? And then there were two Golden Delicious. Remember?
One Golden Delicious.
Two Golden.
No, they weren't Golden. Grimes Golden.
Well, they called them Grimes Golden, but I guess
the... It's about the same thing as Golden Delicious, but it's Grimes Golden.
They used to be real big ones sometimes. Mm.
Well, the Macintosh, Macintosh too. We had Macintosh bigger than this, and I bet you we had.
Oh, maybe 10 bushel on a tree, yeah.
Oh, 10 bushel, we had them by the barrel.
But the other one, we had them
by the barrel. Remember, they'd fall down,
yeah.
And they were all as big as this.
But they were young trees. That's
they were young trees,
through.
Yes. But I know. I said to Ma. Apples like this, I said, you couldn't buy them in Green Bay for 10 cents a pound. At that time, things were cheaper. Ah, she said, nobody paid 10 cents a pound for apples. But they were selling at 7, 8 cents a pound, but, you know, things like this. But these here were all like this, and they had a flavor. They were extra good.
Mm.
But...
when the chickens would come out, they'd always go for that tree first, and all the ones that were down, they'd have to peck on each one.
Yeah. But...
Where did you have the cherry trees?
Oh, the pear trees, we had two. One died.
The cherry trees.
The cherry trees, we had, we planted the royal land. There were two right here, but they weren't royal land. They were red, but we never had more than a handful on. And then the other cherry trees, well, we had those smaller
cherry
ones.
Cherry trees, they were here and there around
here and
back
there.
Here.
And we had a whole line of plum trees.
Yeah, plum trees.
But they didn't last too long. Who cut those trees down? Was that Watson?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, they couldn't get them sprayed, I suppose. And when they weren't sprayed, I suppose they had those railroad worms in, I suppose.
No, an apple tree, if it ain't sprayed, you know, you don't get anything out of it.
Right.
Like Richard Duquesne there, he sprays them, but he's got... Well, he used to come and spray ours, too. We had nice apples like that. He's got those powerful sprays. But now his sprayer is broken. He has to... rent one from the golf course, he says to.
But pear trees, you can grow the Bartlett around here too, but the Bartlett is more like a canning pear. It ain't got the flavor that the Flemish Beauty has. The Flemish Beauty is more like a dessert pear. When we were in Europe, well, I saw some pears there, and I asked, I wanted to, which one is the best one? Well, this here, it was a certain variety anyway. It was the best dessert pear, and I bought it. It wasn't a bit better than the Flemish Beauty from here. It was all good pears, all dessert pears are Flemish in origin. The Bartlett, I imagine, is American, but see, 100 years ago, there was a Belgian scientist, a Flemish. That devoted his life to studying about pears, and he took the best one and the best one and the best one, till at last I read already that any good dessert pear is a Flemish origin.
Mm-hmm.
So the Flemish Beauty must have been one of them, you see, one of the varieties. But that was Richard Duquesne.